Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
Please pray with me. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God in every generation of the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. This morning, I invite you to reflect on how that life Jesus spoke of, that abundant life, is being made manifest in you. How do you see the resurrected Christ moving, breathing, living among you? Last Sunday, our Dean Randy Hollerith preached an incredibly moving and thoughtful sermon about a time in his ministry when he experienced the resurrected Christ in a profound and unexpected way. If you didn't hear that sermon, or even if you did, I commend it to you. Go back and listen. He talked about his ministry at St. James Church in Richmond before he came to the cathedral, and how one of their member, Charlotte, who was a homeless, paranoid schizophrenic, found her home at St. James. She spent her time on the front steps of the church and on the streets. And when she died, the community, her family, gathered and shared stories about the impact that she had had on their lives. And in those stories and in their telling, they experienced the resurrected Christ right in their midst. This morning, two of my cathedral clergy colleagues, Dana Corsello and Patrick Kieser, are taking a group from our congregation to El Paso, Texas, to the border, where for a week or so, they will be joining in hands-on ministry, the migrant ministry, to those at the border. I know that their experience will in many ways be heartbreaking, but I fully anticipate that their experience of those who minister day in, day out to people seeking maybe not the abundant life, but just a safe life, will help them to see and experience the resurrected Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the story of the early birth of the church. The passage you heard this morning speaks of the four grounding principles of that early church. The apostles' teaching what Jesus taught, that the most important thing we can do is love God with all that we are and all that we have, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Fellowship. Jesus brought disparate groups of people together around table fellowship, and they were transformed in the process. The breaking of the bread, which of course Jesus told the disciples that when they gathered, they were to do this in remembrance of me, Jesus' abiding presence in their lives and in ours. And then the fourth grounding principle, prayer, to be deeply rooted together as community in prayer. Now remember, all of this happened after the disciples and the followers were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That changed everything. They'd been huddled behind closed doors, waiting for what Jesus promised, not knowing what in the world that was going to be. But it empowered what were a few to become what we know is the church. If they'd stayed in the safety of that upper room, we wouldn't be here. The Holy Spirit blew. And I'm looking at a lot of fellow preachers in front of me. I suspect none of us are self-delusional enough to think that if we preached a sermon like Peter's, we'd have 3,000 immediate converts. But I digress. That Spirit is alive and well. We're in the Easter season. How do you perceive the Holy Spirit doing a new thing, and how are you responding to it? I can tell you that at the cathedral, we have been so incredibly blessed in the most unexpected way. Shortly before COVID closed down churches all across the country and around the world, we had just raised the money and installed the new video system, which you are enjoying today, that gave us the capability to stream services in a way that gathered community in. What we didn't anticipate was how that online community would explode thanks to the Holy Spirit. That very first Easter Sunday, over 55,000 people were streaming live. And my colleagues who count such things say that eventually over 1 million people saw that surface. Now I share that because we pretty quickly realized that the mission field was so much bigger and broader than we had ever asked or imagined. And so we leaned in. We tried to learn. Many of you who are worshiping with us online right now taught us the way. And we're continuing to lean into that. Over 3 years, over 15 million people have joined us online. And what that tells me is that people are still hungry and yearning for the good news of the resurrected Christ in this hurting and broken world. That's our mission field. That's our opportunity. You don't need me to tell you that our world is broken, terribly broken. When so many people see the answer to their fear, their grievances, their grudges, their anger, their hate, their internal demons, it's an assault rifle. The message of Christ, of love, is more urgently needed today than ever before. Jesus taught us the way and showed us what loving God with all that we are and all that we have, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, what that looked like. In his day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that, "I've decided to stick with love, hate is too great a burden to bear. As our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, is fond of saying, if it's not about love, it's not about God. I think every few generations, God gives us new tools to share this good news, this love as the way to new generations. In the Acts of the Apostles, Paul hopped on a ship to go to the entire Roman Empire to share the good news of Christ. In the 1400s, we had the Gutenberg Bible. In the 1700s, the circuit riders who hopped on a horse to share the good news. In the early 1900s, we had the advent of the radio and TV to share this good news with the world. My friends, who would have believed it? But we have the internet. The internet to share this love of Christ in a way that we might never have imagined. The cathedral is making another investment in leaning in. Thanks to the generosity and vision of a member of our community, we've been given a gift that's going to enable us to hire the first ever at the cathedral pastor for digital ministry. A new shepherd in our flock for all of you worshiping online. We intend to share everything we learn along the way with the church writ large. Our colleagues tell us how they're experiencing this explosion and this opportunity that the internet provides us. Let us lean into it. You never know the difference that you can make. I was reminded of this a month ago when I read an article about a young boy named Kason Hunter, who in Little Rock, Arkansas, with his family, would go to the local Waffle House every weekend for breakfast. It was a family treat. And over the course of the year, he had befriended one of the waiters, Devontae Gardner. And he loved to go. Devontae always gave him a high five, knew his name, knew his order. Hash browns with cheese, eggs with cheese. He's an 8-year-old. They loved to go, and they always asked to sit in Devontae's section of the restaurant. And one day, Kason went with his grandfather, and he overheard Devontae asking if anyone knew how he could get a cheap car, because he'd been having trouble saving the money to get one. And then Kason learned that Devontae walked a few miles going and coming to get to work. For the last 8 months, he, his wife, and his two small daughters had been living in a motel. They were living in a motel because the apartment that they'd been in was overtaken by black mold and an infestation of rats. Devontae had to spend almost all of the $60 in tips he got every day to pay for the hotel room. Despite his working hard, he just couldn't get ahead. Kason decided that one person actually can make a difference. His heart was broken for his friend, whom he loves. So when he got home, he asked his mother to set up a GoFundMe page. Help him do that. Well, they set up a GoFundMe page with the goal of raising $5,000 so Devontae could get a cheap car, just to help a little bit. Well, word spread in that Waffle House community, and a little broader in the Little Rock community. And that GoFundMe page raised over $30,000. That $30,000 enabled Devonte and his family not only to buy a car, but to secure an apartment with 1 year's rent. Kazen said this, "Devonte's a positive person who works hard to make everyone happy. Sometimes people just need a little help." Kazen has it right. Sometimes people just need a little help and maybe a little hope along the way as well. In this Easter season, my prayer for you and for me is that God will resurrect in us the child in us that's crazy enough to believe that one person can make a difference. Let it be so for you and for me. Amen.